want to thank you for your giving. And I know it was kind of a mystery, right? It's like, who's going to preach if Pastor Wes isn't here? I'm still waiting for the memo on that, too. So I'm kidding. So I'm going to be sharing the Word of God with you today. I'm excited about it. And, how many are excited about the Word? Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand one more time? We want to make sure to do our Bible declaration. So we're getting our leg workout today. Amen. Up and down. You ready? Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I can't hear you. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Come on. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have that memorized? You say it in your sleep. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. Good deal. Speaking of deals, I am always looking for a good deal. How about anybody in here looking for something on sale? Looking for a good deal. And the other day, I mean, it was so great. You might have saw my post on, if anybody saw my post on Facebook, because I'm not on there very much. Between Wesco Rewards and gas prices coming down, I got gas for $1.90 a gallon. I was like, wow, that's a deal, right? There are times that I'm traveling and I'm like, I know I need to stop at this town to get gas because it's 30 cents cheaper than it is here in Coopersville. That is just unbelievable. It is just the way it is. I'm always looking for a good deal. Our family, especially recently with the Monopoly thing at McDonald's, we're looking for a good deal at McDonald's. You know, but you have to get the large fry and the large drink and all this stuff to get the Monopoly pieces on there. But I use the Rewards app. I don't know, or the McDonald's app. I don't know if anybody else does. Free food, right? 20% off, $10 or more. There are things that I'm always looking for a deal on. You with me? All right. And I think that's a common practice. I think, you know, if we saw two of the same items sitting on this table, one was $1,000 and one was on sale for $100, nobody would probably take the $1,000 purchase price, right? You take the $100 purchase price, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of things. It's common. We look for good deals. And we don't want to sacrifice everything we have if we can get this at a better rate than this rate. And, of course, we're going to take the good deal. Now, I'm sure there are times that there are certain brands that I like of certain things that I've become more accustomed to because I like the reputation of how long these tools last or whatever, right? And I might pay a little bit more for that, okay? But there are some that would probably spend everything they had to get whatever they want and they go broke. So we need to make sure that there's some balance there, right, when it comes to worldly things. However, there are some things that are not worth looking for a good deal. Okay? It's not worth it. We just need to stop looking for them at a discount. I like I said, having good tools. There's a difference between helping my mom and forcing my boys to build floors and walls with a hammer and nails. Till I finally say, you know what? I'm going to go get a nail gun, and you go boom, boom, and it's done. It's not. I love the sound of the nail and the hammer and the nails. It's a cool sound when you're building something, but, man, to get the job done efficiently, there's a difference there, right? There's a difference between a pocket knife versus a drill. I have to tell you, this thing right here, I have lost this so many times. One time, we're going into a Brandon Lake concert, and the guy at the door asked me if I had a pocket knife, and I said, yes, I do, and he threw it away. And I'm like, it just broke my heart. You know, I've, like, had this thing forever. And when I don't have a screwdriver, I just whip this thing out, and I've got a screwdriver right on here, whatever, you know, right? On the way out the door, you're wondering how I got it, right? I did not go dumpster diving, okay? On the way out, after the concert, one of the security or volunteer people, whoever was there working the door, pulled me aside. I can't believe he even recognized me, or she said, "Hey, I've got something for you." She dove in the trash can and pulled this out and held it for me until after the concert. Really, really cool. I was happy about that. I wanna think about this. Okay, looking for things at a discount, but I wanna go back to a story in 2 Samuel where King David had been really victorious in all of his battles. I mean, God gave him favor in everything he was doing. And you'll see this through 1 or 2 Kings, but also specifically in 2 Samuel, where God had told David throughout his reign to not number the people that he had to fight for him. Don't number the soldiers. Just follow me, do what I'm telling you to do, and you're going to be victorious. Okay? In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David gave the order to go out and number the people, to count them. And he immediately was convicted, and a plague came on Israel, and tens of thousands of people began to die. And the priest or prophet came to David and said, "Here's what you need to do. You need to go to this person's place. You need to go to this specific location, build an altar, and give a sacrifice, a peace offering to God, and the plague will go away." All right? We have this verse, Josh. 2 Samuel 24, verse 21. All right. "Then Arana, who owned the house, said, 'Why has my lord the king come to his servant?' And David said, 'To buy the threshing floor from you.'" This is the location that God wanted the sacrifice to be made. "To build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Arana said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are the oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and the threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these things, O king, Arana has given to the king.' And Arana said to the king, 'May the Lord your God accept you.'" Verse 24, "Then the king David said to Arana, 'No, but I will surely buy it from you at a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The Lord accepted that offering, heeded David's prayer, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel." All right. We need to be mindful today that we don't try living for God at a discounted rate. Okay, so that's what we're going to get into today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. I thank you, Lord, for how you have spoken this to my heart. Lord, the things you've shown me in my life. And Lord, I just pray for, Lord, for open hearts in all of us here. God, as we receive your word, as we hear this message that you have for us today. God, we thank you for it. Draw us closer to you, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. So I gave some examples earlier, some really basic kind of surface level things, right, about the tools and the gas and the McDonald's and all that stuff. But I want to get into the life issues, the quality of life issues, the level of devotion that we give to Christ. So let's get into some of the like the white knuckled. Okay, this is the type. These are the type of topics when pastors start talking about them, everybody's like, ooh. And you're gripping the side of your seat or gripping your spouse's hand, and you're like, when is he going to be done talking about this? Because this is uncomfortable, all right? So we're going to talk about some of these issues, the white-knuckled stuff. We're going to talk about the things that might tend to make us do this cross-arm type thing. You with me? Have you ever done it? Come on. All right. And you're already uncomfortable. I can feel it. Did you feel that, like, the tension? It's crazy. All right, the racing hearts. Oh, man, you get a topic that is speaking right to you, and it just kind of makes your heart start beating. You're like, oh, boy. All right, are you ready for this? I'm going to make it lighthearted. It's going to be all right. We will survive. We'll get out of here in about 2 hours, all right? All right. I believe through many instances that we've seen in the Bible and in my own life that God's the amount that we see God move in our lives, I believe, is directly related to our level of devotion. All right. I believe that the amount that we see God move in our life is directly related to our level of devotion. Why is that? We're going to get into it. Cliffhanger, right? Our willingness to give God every part of us and open ourselves up to God's blessing. I mean, we have to be able to give of our lives, right? We have to be able to give of certain things in our lives for God to come in and fill and to bless and to pour his favor upon us, all right? Weston shared a scripture a couple weeks ago. He asked me this morning, is there a scripture you want me to share? And I was gonna say yes, but I already had this planned. Romans 12:1-2, all right? Talking about being living sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. Everything that we are, all right? Say everything that I am. Go ahead and say that. Everything that I am, all right? I need to devote to God. Can you say that? Everything that I am, I need to devote to God. All right. Got it? You with me? All right. You're like, where is he going with this? Here we go. First thing, right off the top, is the most challenging for all of us, even for me, is our giving. Everybody goes, ooh. Nobody went, ooh. Everybody go, ooh. All right. Oh, boy. All right. Here we go. I think when we get into giving, all right, it's very easy to say, I'll give a little bit. I'll give this much. But tithe, 10%, way too much. How can I do that? We have really valid concerns, church, right? Gas in our car, food on our table, bills that we have to pay, a mortgage in order to keep our home. There are things that weigh on us all the time. But the cool thing is, I'm here as a testimony, okay, of what God has done when we've been faithful in giving. And I know that there are dozens in this room that have experienced the same thing. When God has blessed, when it's been the most trying financial time of our lives, and we've been give that tithe, you give that offering, and you see God do something random. Like, you get a check in the mail that where you didn't even know where this was coming from, you didn't expect it, and it just shows up. Or somebody drops groceries at your door unexpectedly. I mean, there are things that God has done that are simply amazing and unexpected. But it's because of our obedience in this act, right? You understand that? You agree with me today? Amen? All right. You know, those concerns are valid. We get it. Jesus gets it. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? And this is what we always have to go back to when we're concerned about the things of this world. Matthew chapter 6, 21-34, he's talking about the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, all these things in all of creation, God has a plan for and he takes care of them, right? All right. He says not to worry about these things, but to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow what? It's on the screen. All right. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will what? Worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I gave you guys a cheat sheet. So if you don't know the answer, it's right behind me, all right? God is good. He is faithful. He will take care of everything. So let's not worry about it. He's faithful. Remember this. God's got this. Can you say that? God's got this. He's faithful to do his part, so let's be faithful to do ours. All right? Second thing, man, this is tough too, is pride. I love telling my kids, I'm proud of you. When they accomplish something great, when they get hired for their first job, or they get a new job, or, you know, save up a certain amount of money to make a big purchase, I'm proud of you. That's a good sense of pride, right? That's okay. It builds them up. It encourages them. Then there's this issue of pride where we think too highly of ourselves, and it keeps us from maybe telling somebody about Christ. You know, it can be an issue no matter our age, whether in school or in the workplace or in our social environment, wherever we are. You know, I'll be that nice person. I'll be kind, but I don't want to talk about Jesus to others because of what they'll think or say. Can I share just a really, really interesting story? Is that okay? Good, because I was going to do it anyway. I just took a work trip for my other job and met with about a dozen people. I don't know that anybody in that group is a Christian. I've only met with them in person twice. This is my second time. And one person in the group knew I was a pastor. And I walk into the group, and this person said, "Well, hello, Pastor Josh." All right. Now, I've heard expletives and cuss words before, but not in the amount that I heard at that very second. The whole room lit up, not because they were trying to insult me, but because they were shocked and they didn't have a different word to say. And immediately following all that language was, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Have I been swearing in front of you this whole time?" I mean, you know, it was pretty hysterical. But I took the opportunity to say, you know what? Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. And I don't judge you because of your language, but I appreciate your sensitivity. You know, God has convicted me of certain things in my life that I won't do. There's still some work to be done in some others, right? But it was pretty interesting. That night and the following day, I had several people come up to me and begin sharing their past, their spiritual life with me and where they were several years ago and where they are now. Another one wants to talk later on in the future. It just opened doors, and it was so cool. But we have to be able to be bold for our faith and not be like, "Oh my gosh, they just called me out. You know, I'm a Christian." No, be the one that walks in the authority of Christ, right, in the confidence in Christ. Amen? All right. Our words. All right, next. Our words are very important. Just kind of transitioning out of what I just told you. Man, if we grow up in a household or you're in an environment where all you hear is the language and the expletives and all that stuff, it can be really hard to not have that be part of your vocabulary, right? I mean, it's tough. It's really hard to control. You know, James talks about that, right? Controlling or taming the tongue is extremely difficult. What I think is most interesting, and we've all heard it, is when the name of Jesus is used as a swear word. And I think, you know, a lot of you have probably caught on to this. Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? It is the Son of the living true God, our Savior, our friend that sticks closer than a brother, the lover of my soul. It is the one that reigns over all things that they choose to use as an expletive. And that's Satan's plan to pervert our idea of Christ. You with me? All right. So my point is on this, okay, what's coming out of our mouths, is it pleasing to God or displeasing? Let's pull up Psalm 19:14, please, Josh, all right? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, and some versions say pleasing, in your sight. It might not just be swearing. It might be, man, gossiping, lying, backbiting, whatever it is, whatever comes out of these lips. How do we expect God to use this if all that comes out of it is sour, right? Is hurtful, is spiteful. God wants to use our lips to bring him glory. How will the world listen to us when we try to speak truth if all they hear is us speaking the opposite of truth all the time? You with me? All right. We have to be careful that our words are also surrendered to God, okay? Actions. We're getting there. Actions. I'll be a good person on Sunday, at church, but the rest of the week, how do you live, right? This has been a common theme ever since I was a teenager. I remember my youth pastor talking about this, all right? The integrity in your private time, in your personal time at home, you know, and or when you're driving in the car. What is your life consisting of outside of this place, right? We need to ensure that we are setting an example of Christ and reflecting him every moment of the day. How many of you are perfect and do that every second of the day? Nobody raise their hand. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. It's a challenge. It is a challenge, but it's what God is calling us to do. All right. Surrendering those actions, reflecting Christ in public and in private. All right. Next is our work ethic. All right. Work ethic. Who should be the best workers in the world? Us. Who should be the most diligent and most faithful in their job? Us. Why is that? Okay? Why is that? You know, we have an opportunity to show our employer that we are a good worker, that we are faithful, that we will show up on time, we'll be there anytime we're scheduled, and we will do our best to work efficiently and effectively and get the job done. Whatever my duties are that are assigned to me, I'm going to do with my whole heart. Why is that? Why is that? Check this scripture out, Colossians chapter 3. Bondservants or workers, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing who? God. He is our ultimate authority. He's the one that we need to be pleasing. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Last verse right here, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve who? The Lord Christ. Man, I gave you those answers. Let's shout it out like it's right behind me. For you serve who? That was pretty good. All right. The Lord Christ. Everything we do, we should be doing heartily, full-hearted, as unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Our time is another one. I'm only going to spend a few seconds on this. Excuse me. Pastor West talked about this either last week or a couple weeks ago, but our time, you know, making sure we have a personal time in the Word, a personal time in prayer, just asking, starting your day out, just saying, God, help me to walk in your wisdom. Help me to walk in your direction. Help me to follow what your leading is for my life today. All right? Just committing that day to the Lord, getting in the Word, and allowing God's heart and his character to become who we are. Make sense? Okay, we need to become who God's character is and what he's teaching us in his word. You know, there are many other things, okay, I mean, that I didn't cover here that have been strongholds for a long time. Some of us have been dealing with addictions. Maybe you're home with us right now and you've been dealing with drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be. Been dealing with addictions. We know the right way to go. It's just an issue of choosing the right way to go, right? We know that we have to surrender these things to the Lord. That's what he's asking us to do. And would you say it's easy? No. Maybe it's not those three big bad things, drugs, alcohol, and smoking, whatever. Maybe it's something else that you've been dealing with for a long time and you just know you need to let it go. And again, we're not going to sing the song, okay? Pastor West said that very clear. We're not singing that song. We want to, but we're not going to. All right. We need to let it go. We've gotten used to holding on to them instead of heeding the voice of God and his instruction to cast that stuff aside, to cast our cares aside like we did last week, right? Those things that have been just weighing us down, cast them aside. But Pastor Josh, you don't understand. I've been dealing with this for years, for decades. I get it. But I also understand that God is eternal. I know that he is the same today that he was thousands of years ago, that he has always been. I know that he will be the same tomorrow that he has always been. My God never changes. He is the one that delivers. He is the one that sets free. He is the one that restores. There is nothing that God is unable to do. Do you believe it? Amen. Our struggle again, okay, may have been for a few days, a few weeks, even decades, but God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He never changes. He can handle it, right? We already said earlier, God's got this. Amen? All right. So we need to make the decision to stay the same or to change. Pastor Wes has talked about the pause moment. Remember that? Probably several times. I think he's talked about that. The pause moment, when we go to make a decision and we're faced with the path that we've been on, maybe it's not good, and a fork in the road where we have a choice to make a new decision, go a new direction. That pause moment is the Holy Spirit giving us a chance to make a choice. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? That pause moment gives you an exit ramp, okay, to a place of freedom, to a place of liberty, to a place of victory in your life. If you choose to take that, that's where you're going to end up. If you choose to stay on the same course, it's like riding the hamster wheel of life, all right? Those poor little things don't know any better. All they do is just ride that wheel, and they have so much fun because they have no intention in their life, right? They're like, man, that was great. Thanks so much for getting me a hamster wheel. That was my best impression of a hamster voice that I could do, all right? But we are in that same boat. We are in that same situation in our lives when if we continue the course that we're going now in whatever our struggle is, and we've chosen to not surrender it to Christ, and we see nothing changing, nothing getting better, no improvement in our life, maybe we're like, God, why haven't you blessed me? Why don't I see your favor? Well, what's the direction of our life right now? Is it in that you're running that same course and you haven't chosen to take the exit ramp to where he wants you to go on a new direction? All of us have that opportunity, all right? God's calling us to give him everything. Everything. I want to, as I start to close this, and worship team, you can come up. I want to think about something else that we hear, memorizing scripture, memorizing the word of God. How many of you believe that that's important? All right, it's extremely important. It is so true that when we hide God's word in our heart, as King David said, he said, I hide your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because it begins to change our mind. It begins to change our outlook on situations in our life. You know, speaking scripture is never going to be like a magical potion spell type thing, right? It may not always change the situation or the circumstance, but it will certainly change our outlook and increase our capacity to handle the circumstance. Because we realize we're not in this fight alone. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is partnering with us to give us strength to get through these things. Amen? Amen. Again, God is calling us to give him everything, every part of us, not just what we have to offer, but what we have to offer, but all of what we have to offer. Every breath, every action, every thought, everything is his. Back to 2 Samuel 24. David was given for free everything that he needed in order to give an offering to the Lord. But what was his response? I will not give to the Lord something that has cost me nothing. The things that we need to devote to God, the things that we need to surrender to God, it is going to cost us something. They are going to cost us something. It's a sacrifice to give up the things that we're comfortable with. It's a sacrifice to give up the things that we've been ensnared with for decades. But it's time to give it up to Jesus, to lay it at his feet and say, God, I want to give you every part of me. Are you willing to do that? You know, trying to live for God at a discount doesn't work. And you see my theme there, right? Give him everything, not just this part. Okay, not at a discounted rate. Give him everything. Last week's message talked about, you know, man, throwing those things down at the altar and letting God take it. Sacrificially giving, sacrificially serving, sacrificially humbling ourselves and let God use us in the way that he wants to. It's not easy, but that is what he's asking us to do. And the cool thing is when God sees that, when he sees us make that action, God will bless us with more than what we had to begin with. I've seen it in my life. God is so good.
Yes, he is.
He's so faithful. All we have to do is make that step.
Amen.
Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? We're going to close with a song.